Are you ready to get tougher? Let's get started.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Color belts, black belts, instructors, students, masters, grandmasters of ATA Nation, welcome back to the ATA Nation Podcast. This is episode number 60. How exciting is that? My name is Senior Master Zach Hayden, and I am your host for the podcast. We are thrilled to have you back with us today for another awesome episode. We have a very cool interview with the one and only Mr. Van Eck. I had to just get him on the show. I'd heard this story before, and I needed to get it out to you guys because it's so great. Let's no more from me about it. Let's just listen right in to this interview with Mr. Van Eck.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we have with us today the one, the only, Mr. Van Eck. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Master Hayden. How about yourself?
I am wonderful. It is great to hear from you. I have known you for a very long time. You started back in the great Region 102 East.
That's right.
Before you flew south and decided to hang out at Karate Atlanta and all the great people down there.
Yeah.
It was nice to have you up here.
Yeah, I miss the Midwest a lot. But it's not really my fault because I only came because, you know, Master Burns left.
Yes.
He flew the nest first. He set the path for me to follow him.
He did. You know, there's a lot of great talent that has come from ATA Region 102 East and has gone elsewhere into, I think you've got Miss Mitchell, who is, killing it with Victory. You down there, Master Burns down there, there's just all over the place. It's got some, we did a pretty decent job up here with some people. So most people who have heard of the famous Mr. Van Eck have seen your amazing extreme martial arts skills. That's one of the things that you are known for. What kind of got you excited about extreme martial arts? What is the thing that was like, hey, that's cool?
That's a good question.
Was it Master Burns? Is Senior Master Burns' dance moves? Was that what it was?
It was definitely not his dance moves. However, he's got good dance moves. He mixes it up pretty well as a multi-genre artist.
Yes, sir.
But that's really kind of. I think for me, it was. I always, growing up, I always was like kind of the daredevil child and always kind of wanted to be able to do things that other people couldn't do. Or I sought after that kind of like thrill seeking, which is funny to me because I'm like definitely afraid of heights. but it was kind of like a thrill seeking thing of I enjoyed the athleticism side to it. And then it was kind of before I was able to kind of dabble into performing arts or music or other things. It was kind of like my first kind of introductory to performing to a degree. And I really enjoyed the energy and the outlet to kind of perform in a different like medium that a lot of people don't get to experience unless they've done some form of martial arts or even like gymnastics to a degree. And I think that energy kind of drove in. Really, I loved doing mixing the martial arts, the kicking and everything with the little bit of a gymnastics background I had at the time. Mixing those two things together, what I found out what martial arts tricking was probably the hook, line, and sinker for me. And I was like, this is a lot of fun. I get to combine two sports that I really love, and everyone loves watching it. So,
yes, sir.
I think that was the biggest thing for me.
Well, then you were probably one of those kids that the first thing you asked somebody when they did martial arts was, can you do a flip?
I don't know how that ever kind of got connected. I would love to go back and know who started the martial artists just like flip. Maybe it was like the old 80s Mortal Kombat, horribly choreographed Mortal Kombat movie or something.
It's got to be something. Yeah, it's got to be something. It was post, you know, it wasn't obviously Bruce Lee and, you know, Chuck Norris. It wasn't those guys.
No.
You know, it was past that. It was the Ninja Turtles and the Mortal Kombat. It's got to be something in there that caused people to start going, hey, can you do a black flip? I'm like, I personally can't. I know you could be like, yes, I can. But
we're going to have to ask Master Chat, and Ernie Reyes Jr. Yes. Know that they're in the family.
Yes, yes. Ernie Reyes Jr. probably, he probably is one of the first that, you know, had people making sure they ask that because he's such a star.
That's true. That's true.
And his dad's demo team, you know, that was probably one of the things.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the reasons I wanted to interview you, one, you're just a great guy, but two was I had you up to our school a couple of years ago, and you told this story about becoming a world champ, and about the number of times that you had to go and compete and whatnot. And I just thought it was – I still use this example today when I'm talking to students because you know, we have so many people who, you know, their goal is district champ or state champ or whatever, and you know, they don't get it, you know, the first time or the second time,
right.
You know, and it's just like, oh, I can't do it. It's too hard or whatnot. And I still bring up your story. So could you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a world champ?
Yeah, I won't get too long winded into it and do the whole story. But like a lot of kids that got interested in martial arts, you know, I growing up, I wanted to be a Ninja Turtle. And my mom told me that when my older sister went back to school, she would find me Ninja Turtle lessons. Cause I said, mom, I want my Ninja Turtle lessons. So I watched my sister walk home off the bus. I turned to my mom and said, mom, where's my Ninja Turtle lessons? She went, crap. He remembered. So actually my first martial arts studio that I trained at was a traditional Kukkiwon Taekwondo school. Oh. Yeah. So that's where it first started. They didn't have a Tiny Tiger program. So my mom had to, convinced the Korean lady there to let me try classes. She put the fear of God into me and said, if I don't listen to her ninjas, we're going to pop out of the ceiling, beat me up, and kick her out of the studio. And she walked out as the class was about to start. And which is strange because I think I understood the instructor better than my mom did. She spoke very broken English. Mm. And I don't know if it's like the sailor recognizes the sailor across the room type of thing, where it's, if we're just on the same wavelength, but we understood each other really well. So that was kind of the beginning of me learning martial arts. And unfortunately, I'm not sure in hindsight for what reason now, but she had to go back to Korea, whether it was in Kukkiwon, you have to test for your fourth degree in Korea and this and that. Mm. So I'm not exactly sure why she had to go back, but she had to go back. A different master took over. And then I know this now, but he apparently like tripled the price of the program and this, and it wasn't much better. If anything, it was kind of worse because he didn't really teach as much. So my mom was like, oh, let's go somewhere else. So I started competing in gymnastics for a little bit for about a year. And about the same time I went to gymnastics, I found Master Burns and little old, well, I think it was technically Oshimo, but he was, I'm from Kalamazoo. So I'll say Kalamazoo, but I think his school is technically in Oshimo, Michigan. So yes, found him. We came in on a Sunday, which is odd. I almost never see schools open on Sundays. It's not, I mean, I know I do private lessons on Sundays, but Master Burns is just in there by himself. My dad and I came in and checked it out. He asked what I could already do since I've already done some martial arts before. And the first thing he showed me was the 540 kick. And I was like, wow, I can't do that. This is the spot, Dad. I want to stay here. So that one 540 kick showed everything for me.
Yes, sir.
So I started training with him. And then I can't remember the exact year that XMA became a exhibition tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes, sir.
Master Burns being really close with Master Mike Chat, he, matter of fact, had Mike Chat, and at the time on his performance team, it was Chandra Kissel, came to Kalamazoo, and we did kind of like this school tour where we all got to do some XMA forms for some kids, kind of like you have like a big assembly for different schools. And I got to be part of it since I was already training in some of the stuff, and she would perform, I would perform, Mike Chat would talk a whole bunch. Oh, he's really good at that. I say he talks a whole bunch, but he's a great speaker.
He's a good communicator.
So he kind of like,
yes, sir.
Yeah, he kind of tied it all in. And Master Burns just kind of looked pretty over there. I think he was just helping direct us around everything. Yes. So we did that. Long story short, comes to the tournament circuit where this is the first time I'm able to compete and really just, you know, not walk through people, but I was much more prepared for this division than most other people.
It was your thing.
So when the tournaments came, yeah, it was definitely my thing, and it was brand new to a lot of people. And I've already been doing it. I had leg up on everyone. I'd already been doing it for a good while, at least a year or two, especially since I just did some gymnastic experience, competing with some acrobatics and stuff. So I already knew the basics of, you know, flipping and being able to mix all of it in made for a pretty big combination, a pretty explosive type of performance. So competition season goes all along. I think first year, I think I was like 14 or so, and I'm winning, get to go to the top 10, because at that time it was called top 10. Mm-hmm. And I think I went fourth or fifth, and I had got a perfect score. I was competing against, at the time, they were on the world demo team, Kyle Palhemus, which I don't think is still in the ATA. Or maybe he came back, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, and then it was Brandon Johnson at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a three-way tie for first place, and me and I remember that was the first time me and Brandon really became friends, and of course we all did it again. Judges went to score, and Kyle got first, I got second, and Brandon got third. So I was real excited to be there, and then just crushed when I got second. And my mom and my dad, they always had this saying for me. They said, when life gets tough, you have to be tougher. And I hated hearing that saying growing up, but it's so true, because I remember I turned to my mom and my dad, and I was crying. I was upset. And my mom was like, I don't know what you're crying about. You got second in the world. I'm like, that's pretty good. I was like, yeah, I guess that's pretty good, Mom. She's like, if you want to get first, all you have to do is just try again. And she would say that dumb motto that I hated at the time, but it's so true. Like, 'cause life doesn't get any easier. It's never going to be fair. When life gets tough, you just have to get tougher. And it's as simple as it is. There's no if, and, or buts about it. So went back to next season. Same thing. I was crushing it during the regional, during the like point chasing kind of setup. And then at World Championships, I was like, all right, this is the year. You know, threw down a phenomenal form, felt great about it. Same thing happened. Three-way tie for first place. A little bit different people. Kyle Palhemus wasn't there. He wasn't competing that season. So it's me, Brandon Johnson, and Jeremy Eldrin, who was also like the star of the world demo team that year. Brandon and I have a running joke. Now that we've both been in like the spotlight, we're like, oh, now we've got our turn. But we said we'd always lose to the world demo team star.
Yes,
yeah. We got started to get upset with world demo team. So then we both tried out and we both didn't make it. So, so it's a long story there, but needless to say, first year got second year got second, third year got second, fourth year got second. My fifth year, I'm like, all right, this is it. I'm going to win. And then I actually took a step backwards. Fifth year got second again. My sixth year, I got third.
Oh,
so finally, 2012 rolls around. And it's right before the 2012 to 2013 tournament season. And we have this first big publicized ESPN tournament. And my two competitors, one is my training partner I train with all the time in Atlanta when he was here, which is Master CL Sawazi. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was always my rival growing up, where I just could not seem to beat this guy when it mattered. And that was Master Evan Turner. And they put all three of us against each other. They had both won multiple titles in multiple different divisions. They're great martial artists, great guys too. But there was little old me with I wasn't sure, because you had to be picked for this tournament. And I wasn't sure how I got there. But I was like, all right, this is the year. I'm going to show them. And they had the big ESPN tournament that had showed up. We got this big rehearsal, watching everyone. Everyone looked great. And lo and behold, that was not for a world title, but that was the first time that, you know, I unanimously got picked, because at that time they didn't score because it was just three competitors at point that we got one. So I won that one, and that was my first big moment that I kind of needed in my head at the time to say, you can still do this. You
and that
can still win.
Like the seventh kind of big, sixth, seventh big try, you know?
Right.
That's
right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it led into that year at World Championships. I was ranked number one, Master Sawazi was ranked number three, and the Master Turner was ranked number two. Ugh. So I was like, perfect. They get to see me last. I as long as I crushed my form and I put as much difficulty as I could in it, I did as many as my high level, you know, kicks, flips, and tricks. And of course, you know, the three of us would throw down. And instead of a three-way tie this time, it's just a two-way tie. And I was like, great, I can do this again. And we ran it back, and all three judges pointed at me instead of Master Turner. And Master Turner and I have a joke now that I've retired him from XMA. That's not true. I think he was just putting focus in other ways. And that was the first big moment. I remember when they pointed to me and raised my hand. It was such an amazing moment for me. Not because, obviously, everyone wants to win. But it was because I never gave up. And it was such a long journey to get there. It meant the world to me. It's probably still, to this day, one of the best experiences. Not just that winning, but the whole 7-year journey of trying so hard to get something that you want so badly, but you have to work for it. And when things get tough, you just have to get tougher. And that taught me a lot of mental toughness to get there.
And I love that. I mean, that's the kind of thing people need to hear. You know, when they see what they say in business, you know, every overnight success you see has, you know, 20 years of struggle before the overnight success. People see, you know, somebody like you who now, you know, people know, they're like, you know, it's Max Van Eck, he's amazing, you know, look at him do these things. You know, they don't see the stories behind. And it's not only, you know, I to me it seems like it would be even tougher when you're coming in second, you know, or third all these times. You know, it's one thing if I'm coming in 8th, 9th, you know, you're like, hey, okay, I gotta keep working, I gotta keep trying.
Right.
You come in like second, like, I was so close over and over again.
Yeah, and it was always either we tied and I never got swept. I always had one judge that voted for me, but the other two voted for the other person. You know, and it's when you get like third or, you know, third and below, you're like, hey, I'm here. I can hang with these guys. And you're kind of like, at least this is my experience of like, I'm proud because I've now since been trying to win other titles and other extreme stuff. And I've come close for traditional forms 3 times now, which believe it or not, was three three-way ties for first place, including this last year where just ended up second. I was like, all right, I just got to keep working on it. And then this last year was the second year that I actually qualified for sparring. And I really wanted to kind of show everyone that I can also spar, not just do all the fun, flashy kicks and stuff. But I will say the 30 to 39 division for 4th and 5th has some killers in there. So it was I think my favorite competitor is from 102 East, which was Mr. Elijah Kafer.
Yeah.
So it was great to kick it with him again because he was down here for a little while too. So that was cool.
Yeah, that's another
shout out to Eli. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, so speaking of trying or going in other divisions now, what are your thoughts on you know, I was just recently talking to my competition team and saying, you know, it is tough to be, you know, placed and training hardcore for, you know, title in multiple events that are so much different, you know, extreme forms, sparring and traditional forms. These are all very different events. Not that you can't do multiple titles, but it seems to me that, you know, you kind of got to hone in on one kind of thing or one training model, kind of master that before really going, hey, I'm going to do all of these.
Absolutely. I think the hardest two to do at the same time, it's purely based on the highest percentage of injuries is sparring and extreme forms or weapons. Because you like, I do a lot of sparring, you know, now that I'm out of serious competition mode with a lot of things since we just had Worlds. The last couple of years I started to delve into like other martial arts a lot, doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai, kickboxing, and I really, really enjoy that level of going a little bit more physical past the point sparring into even from my roots of, you know, Olympic style taekwondo of continuous sparring. I really enjoyed those platforms for competition a lot better because they're a lot more evened out opposed to, you know, there's no lying about it or anything. I'm a short dude. So when I step in the ring, everyone's on, you know, I got, you know, I still got Anthony Rodriguez from over there of you guys, and he's, you know, towering over me at 6'5", six. I'm not exactly sure. I might be exaggerating, but I know he's 6 foot something. I'm like, man, oh, it's a good thing I can jump because there's no way I'm going to reach you. So those are some difficult things to handle with. And then going back into competing with, you know, all the different training of flipping and constantly putting so much pressure on your joints as far as the, you know, the spin kicks and flips and the hard landings, those two things are really hard to pull off.
Yes, sir.
Or even with like combat sparring, trying to, you know, combat sparring has so much footwork and explosive movements where it's, you know, it's so easy to sprain your ankle, your calf. I wish I was talking about just my personal injuries, but there's so many that I've seen. So it's definitely really hard. But
yes,
the thing I would say is you just have to be a extremely high level athlete and just be outworking everyone. If you can put in, if you have, I don't, it's crazy to now that we have 8 different divisions, but if you can put in work in, you know, flip flop back and forth between your, you know, your extremes and then back to traditionals, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, you'll be good to go.
Yes,
and
sir.
They really do complement each other a lot too. If you know how to take the extreme spin kicks, everything, and then set them up in sparring, look at Alex Law. Alex Law is a monster, and he lights people up with, you know, the crazy like Autobahn 720s.
And then combat, you know, then he's a monster in combat too.
He is. I think that's his favorite division too.
Yeah. So it's certainly doable. Like I like what you said. You got to be all around. You got to be working on your athleticism. You know, all those different areas. You know, we've talked to Mrs. Kaminsky on the podcast quite a few times, and you know, really looking at those sports specific, making sure that you're an overall awesome high level athlete. Well, last but not least for us today is kind of what are your goals these days? What are you working towards yourself? What's the future got for Mr. Van Eck?
I still have the dream of the hat trick of winning all 3 forms. I was really close this year. I got extreme forms and creative forms, and then second in traditional forms. So hopefully I can battle that out again this next year that. But I've slowly come to the realization that I just don't enjoy competition as much as I once did. And it's, you know, like in martial arts in general, especially doing it as a career, it's always fun. It's always something you love, but there's times where you're like, I don't enjoy this the same as I do. And you kind of feel like you're getting burnt out or whatnot. And after a good, I've been competing since I was 8. So after a good 22 years of competition, I think I kind of want to take a back seat for a little bit. Maybe not this year. Maybe I'm just not going to do the major tournament maybe not be doing all the major tournaments this year, but I think I want to take a little bit more time and focus on my studio and my students and my school.
Build up and, some more world champs for yourself, you know, like, it's all about, you know, training them then.
Yeah, that's become a lot more meaningful for me of seeing the journey be full circle and remembering the different things that, you know, Master Burns, and I had a lot of different mentors that really helped me get to where I am, you know, now. I mean, Master Sawazi helped me tremendously. Master Turner pushed me to be even better and better each tournament. So it's trying to find, for me, those things and those insights that helped me get here, but still trying to almost kind of reinvent those things because it's kind of a generational gap of, and it's hard. And I will say I had, not martial arts related, but competition related, my cousin started playing professional pool for like 8-ball and 9-ball, and he was at a championship league match, and at the very last shot, he scratched on the 8, and he was beating himself up and everything. I asked him, I was like, I know I've competed a whole bunch. Is this your biggest competition you've ever done? He goes, yeah, I just can't believe I did that. I was like, look, man, it happens. Like, you just got to go through the motions. As Michael Jordan was trusted more times than any other player in the league at the time to make that winning shot. There are sometimes he made it, sometimes he didn't make it. When he didn't make it, it made him that much better because he went back and said, I'm not going to let that situation come up again and not be prepared. So it's just one of those things of how do you respond? How, you know, winning is tough. You win all the time, it's hard to grow. It's tough.
That's for sure.
Losing is tough. No one likes losing, but you got to choose your toughness. You got to choose which one you really want. You know, it's based on the actions you make, the decisions you make and the actions you take.
Yes, sir. Well, that is great advice. You know, that all of us out here in ATA Nation can, you know, work on, you know, how we take, you know, those wins, those losses, the actions that we take afterwards. Mr. Van Eck, I appreciate your time today. Really, thanks for sharing that story. Again, it's one that I think is so important for people to hear. You know, enjoy the rest of your wonderful afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I mean, great stuff. Really good advice there. You know, we just, when life gets tough, you got to get tougher. What great, you know, just a, something that we need to focus on, especially when so often we get tied in with, you know, or tied up with focusing on titles or goals or whatnot. And we're not always going to succeed our first try or our second or third or fourth or whatever the case might be. I appreciate you tuning in to another great episode. Don't forget, we've got this special project coming. I'm going to have more information, and you might have already seen some of it if you've headed over to atama.ninja/uncut. There you can pick up a membership card, use the password ATA to get one, and maybe you will be one of the first to see what comes from our special project with some awesome ATA teams. If your team wants to be part of it, send me a DM on Instagram, ATA Nation Podcast over there on Instagram. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, get out there and take action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Okay, weird question. So if you've been over to the Secret Uncut website, you might have noticed it's a like an NFT thing. If you've heard of NFTs, send me a message. Let me know. Okay, later.